You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
It's Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas.
Takes the snap. It's a run to Jacobs, trying the left side. Burst through a hole, 40, 45, 50. Down to the near side, 40. And a stiff arm. They're not going to catch him. Jacobs at the 10. 5. Touchdown, Raiders. Josh Jacobs burst through the hole and sprinted 63 yards for his longest play of the season.
This is Unnecessary Roughness. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. Here's your boy Q.
And here I am. Here we are. Raider Nation, we are back. Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. Apparently we've been gone in the woods for the last, 20 minutes or so. We had a power surge at the radio station. So every one of our stations went down. It was not a us thing. It was a, area thing. I guess somewhere in the area of where the radio station is located. We had a big power surge, and all the folks in the background, all the engineers and folks did a lot of fine work to get us back going sooner rather than later, so we definitely appreciate them. So sorry for that hiccup. Sorry if we lost you for a minute, but we are back now. We should be good to go throughout the rest of the show. And so it's good for that. We were actually able to stall my guy out that we had lined up for 4 o'clock. Just had to push him back a few minutes. We actually have winning on the way as well. We'll get you in to win some of those Raiders-Vikings tickets. I was trying to give some of those out, actually, when we went out the first time. So we'll get you registered. We'll get you in to win. Thanks to Boyd Gaming coming up in just a little while. But join us now on the phone lines to talk a little bit of college football is Brian Fisher from Fox Sports. He's a national writer, does a fantastic job. And, Brian, thanks so much for your time. Apologize for getting to you a little bit late, but we had a little bit of wonkiness at the radio station. So, again, thanks so much for your time. And before we get into some of the college football games that are happening, including the championship games right here in our backyard, the Pac-12 championship game that gets underway in just a little while, and, of course, the Mountain West championship game, wanted to ask you about the Mountain West and their announcement that they made today. They kind of came to an agreement with the Pac-2 as what they're going to do next year. So kind of explain it to me, almost like a, I don't know, what's what for dummies on what's going on between the Mountain West and the Pac-2.
Yeah, it's kind of, I almost liken it to the arrangement that Notre Dame has with the ACC in terms they have a set number of games that they play. Those games do not count in the conference standings, but they're kind of scheduled by the conference and the Irish, and this is kind of similar in terms of the Mountain West is going to play several games. They're going to play basically eight. There's normal eight conference games, except one of those is going to be against either Washington State or Oregon State, and those games against the Beavers and Cougs are not going to count in the standings. And and really, this is a big boon for the Mountain West schools, to be honest. They're going to get paid a fee right around the neighborhood of $14 million from the old Pac-2 schools, and frankly, it's a way to get games on the schedule that were previously not there for those former Pac-12 members, and for a way for the Mountain West schools to maybe increase a little bit of visibility, get those teams on the schedule that should be pretty good going into next year. And I think it's just is an all around kind of Band-Aid going into 2024, and I'm going to be interested to see how well it works and really how well if it works well enough to kind of continue into the future.
Do you think that the ultimate goal is going to be to eventually join forces in one of the conferences?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's been the goal all along. And I think from, I've talked with, Gloria Navarez, the Mountain West commissioner, about this, and it does seem like that is something on the table. I think for the Mountain West schools, and then look, both Oregon State and Washington State have said they've wanted to rebuild the Pac-12 and rebuild that brand, if you will, that they essentially have control of, depending on what the courts say as soon as the next month or two. And frankly, they want to rebuild that part. They don't want to join the Mountain West. They would prefer kind of that reverse merger that's been talked about in terms of the Mountain West schools kind of joining in the Pac-12, kind of creating that Western Football League once again, having your basketball teams play a lot of their rivals up and down the West Coast and along the Rockies. And frankly, that's I would anticipate that ultimately end up happening. But for the Mountain West schools, they want to kind of be protected. They want to make sure that if they end up doing this, number one, is there some lawsuit that the Pac-12 is kind of liable for as a conference? They don't want to get roped into anything like that. There's a lot of this house lawsuit that the NCAA is going to be dealing with. They don't want to be on the hook for millions of dollars of damages if they were to end up joining the Pac-12. So I think that's one thing that they've got to kind of get clarity on over the next couple of months. And, frankly, they also want to make sure that all the Mountain West members are going to be accepted. They don't want the Pac-12 to necessarily cherry pick, say, we'll take UNLV, but we don't want to take Nevada. So there's kind of that kind of jockeying going on to just make sure everything's kind of buttoned up. But I would assume that there's going to be an agreement reached here in the next couple of months as they kind of sort out all these little various details. And this was kind of step one to get that scheduling agreement in place so they can actually kind of put dates in with a lot of these football teams.
Talking all things college football right now with Brian Fisher from Fox Sports. He's the national college football writer here on Raider Nation Radio 920 Unnecessary Roughness. And kicking off, as a matter of fact, at 5 p.m. Pacific time at Allegiant Stadium right here in Las Vegas is going to be that Pac-12 championship game. Number 3 versus number 5, Washington and Oregon. And Oregon hasn't lost, Brian, since they lost to Washington earlier in the season. What are your expectations for this game? This one seems like one that's going to have some big-time playoff implications on it.
It will, and I would anticipate the winner of this getting this being a play-in, if you will, for the college football playoff. And it's fascinating because you go back to that game in Seattle, really the razor-thin margins that it was played on. It came down to a field goal at the end, some of those questionable Dan Lanning decisions to go for it on fourth down not really paying off, and that ends up costing them the game. And frankly, these two teams have kind of gone in opposite directions ever since. I think Washington, they've basically played every single game since then by one score, and they've come out on top of those and been winners, but they just have not looked like the same team that we kind of saw from that first third of the season, where they were just blowing teams out of the water. The offense looked phenomenal. I know there's been a lot of questions about Michael Penix and his health there at quarterback, but frankly, the Ducks, I mean, this is a team that, when you look at the offensive line, you look at the way Bo Nix is playing, this is a team that is looking like one of the best in the country. Even though they do have that one loss by pretty narrow margin, you got to think if they are able to avenge that, they'll get back into the playoff. And I think this is a very dangerous Oregon team, and something that the emotions are going to take over. It's the final Pac-12 game. It is a rivalry game. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of hype on both sides, but I would expect this one to kind of be a little bit back and forth, just because everybody knows their margin. And frankly, I think both teams were kind of looking ahead towards this matchup as soon as it was locked in terms of what can we do differently from that first match. And what can we make sure that we emphasize going into the game tonight?
I'm glad that you mentioned the questionable decisions that Oregon coach Dan Lanning made in that first matchup. I remember that one specifically right before half, where he decided to try to go for the touchdown, and instead of kicking the field goal, and they end up losing by 3 points. Do you expect him to stay and be as aggressive as he was in that game tonight?
I don't know if he's going to be quite as aggressive, and I think especially early on, that's kind of the moment where you kind of look at if there's a kind of a fourth and short in and around midfield, it's definitely going to be interesting. Now, if he's, kind of in that area, between kind of just outside the red zone, maybe going in, maybe that's a place where he can still be aggressive. But I think it's still part of his ethos. It's still something that Dan loves to do. It's kind of how he's been kind of looking at this role as a head coach. And I think the team has embraced that, that they want to be aggressive. If you talk with, a lot of their players, they like going for it in those fourth down situations. They like going for 2 points, after they score a touchdown. So I wouldn't anticipate too many changes, but you look at the history that he's had over these last 2 years as a head coach, and a lot of times in these close games against these big-time opponents that are either on the road or at home, it has come down to a lot of those questionable decisions in the second half. So I think, if anything, that's where I would kind of be curious to see, is that first half aggressiveness from Dan Lanning going to inform what he's going to do in the second half? It might be all for naught in terms of if they get out to a decent lead or whatnot, but I think that is definitely something worth keeping an eye on in this one.
Talking all things college football again with Brian Fisher here on Raider Nation Radio 920 Unnecessary Roughness. You can find Brian's work at Fox Sports. And another game that's going to be played at Allegiant Stadium is going on Saturday, and that's the Mountain West Championship game. Before we actually get into that game, what have you thought about what Coach Barry Odom's been able to do with the Rebels in his first year?
Well, I think it's been one of the best coaching jobs I think in the country. You talk about not only kind of getting a program like this that has not had this consistent success really throughout the last couple of decades, and to be in a position to win the conference title. I mean, especially taking over a team like he has. It's not like he wholesale roster changed everything from the quarterback on down. And like, this is a lot of kids that he inherited, and to get them playing the right way, to get them playing together. I give hats off to him, and I think it kind of reaffirms just how good a coach he is. I think You look back at his Missouri tenure, you look at back what he did with at Arkansas with that defense, and kind of where those places kind of went immediately after he left. And you can just see that he is one of the best coaches, you know, I think, in college football, and really proving it this year. And I would anticipate him getting strong consideration for a lot of those National Coach of the Year awards, because everybody kind of understands where UNLV has been historically and where they are at right now in this moment, in position to really not only host the Mountain West title game at home, but also win it.
Yeah, speaking of the game, I mean, how bizarre is this, right? Boise State is in the game. They fired their coach after a win. UNLV is hosting the game after a loss to San Jose State. But here we are. It's the Mountain West Championship game, Boise State and UNLV. Just what are your thoughts on the game? What are your expectations of how it'll shake out on Saturday?
You know, it is a fascinating kind of aspect. You know, you just don't get many interim coaching situations where they're playing for a conference title. But, you know, hats off to Spencer Danielson, those guys, not only on that coaching staff, but the rest of the players. You know, they really have locked in since the move to let go of Andy Avalos. And they've been playing a lot better. I think maybe a little bit more of a regression to the mean. I mean, you look at, you know, losing that on the Hail Mary to Colorado State. You look at some of their losses. They were very close. You know, I think they were always a team that was just, you know, ready to kind of get up and get that momentum, and they suddenly got it thanks to that kind of injection of life from the head coaching change. And I think it's going to be a fascinating matchup. You know, I think you look at both sides, they kind of want to push the tempo a little bit. It's going to come down to defensive stops. You know, I think that this could be one of those higher scoring affairs, but at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, can you force those long third downs to where it's an obvious passing situation for both quarterbacks, and really make sure that you can get off the field? Because you know, there's a ton of offensive skill position weapons. You know, we're going to see probably a couple quarterbacks out of the Broncos. I think it's going to be a really, really fun matchup, and it's kind of almost too bad that's kind of going up against the SEC that I'm sure everybody's kind of focused on nationally, given the playoff opportunities there in Atlanta.
Yeah, and you mentioned the SEC championship game. That's Georgia and Alabama, and of course Alabama currently is not in the playoffs. Georgia is the number one seed right now, so this game has a lot of implications. How do you see this one playing out? It feels like Alabama's kind of figured out their quarterback situation as opposed to what it looked like early in the season when they lost to Texas.
Yeah, it kind of felt like both teams were definitely looking ahead. You know, despite playing rivalry games last week and against in-state opponents, it kind of felt like they were looking just a little bit ahead towards this matchup, knowing how important it'll be. And look, this is not, you know, peak Georgia. You know, I think we've seen them kind of improve steadily throughout the season. You know, they didn't. This is, you know, that game against Georgia Tech, they kind of looked like they did early in the year, where they're kind of struggling to get that rhythm on offense, particularly. I'm not convinced that this is the same caliber of defense that we've seen at the last 2 years out of Kirby Smart's group. But they still got some guys. You know, there's definitely you know, a couple of first round draft picks, a lot of other top 100 players on that defense, and, you know, to me, this is going to come down to the quarterbacks. You know, when it's that third and long and you've got to convert at midfield, when it's, you know, those key situations before the halves, you know, you always talk about those last 4 minutes, those first 4 minutes of the second half, that's going to be key for I think both teams. You know, can you get those scores when you need to, and ultimately make sure that you're converting, you know, those field goal opportunities into touchdowns, because we know the margins are so thin in the SEC, and in a game like this, we've seen this clash happen before. I would imagine the margins are going to be pretty thin, given the way both sides were playing kind of coming into last week.
Talking all things college football right now with Brian Fisher from Fox Sports here on Raider Nation Radio 920 Unnecessary Roughness. So is this the game, is number 8 Alabama versus number 1 Georgia, is this the game that can create as much chaos or the most chaos when it comes down to Selection Sunday?
Yeah, you know, this is the linchpin on all the chaos scenarios, for sure. And if Georgia wins, you know, I think things are a little bit more simpler and for the committee to kind of decide. Yeah, you can throw in the Pac-12 winner, that's an obvious one. Michigan, you can already go ahead and probably pencil them in actual permanent ink, given their matchup against Iowa. But look, you know, I think so much is going to depend, because there's going to be that narrative, and it's already started right now. I heard you know, Commissioner Greg Sankey talking about, like, of course the SEC champion is going to get in. Well, what if that SEC champion is a team that lost to the Big 12 champion in Texas, and convincingly so on their home field? I think that debate is certainly going to ramp up should there be an Alabama win. But, you know, things are a lot cleaner. And certainly the committee, I don't think they're rooting by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, there might be some subtle fist pumps there in that grapevine selection committee room when Georgia were to ultimately advance, because it just makes things so much simpler. And then really that kind of puts the pressure on the ACC title game and what happens there at the end of the night.
Final question for you. Who has the best opportunity of sneaking into the college football playoffs? Number 6-ranked Ohio State, who just lost to Michigan, or 7th-ranked Texas, who lost and is going to be playing in the Big 12 championship game and most likely will win it?
I think it's Texas. You know, the committee has pretty consistently cited that win over Alabama in terms of their strength of schedule, going on the road, really doing, what this playoff system was designed to do. You know, test yourself out of conference, get one of those big non-conference wins, and look, you go back to that game against Oklahoma. I think the committee's probably going to revisit that a little bit more. It was a wild game back and forth, kind of came down there right to the end. And, since then, Texas has had a couple of issues, here and there. I think you got to look at the way they've played without, Quinn Ewers at quarterback. But at the end of the day, look, this is a team that has done everything that you were expecting for one of those top four teams to do in terms of taking care of their business, getting that big non-conference win, and winning a pretty tough, rough and tumble in terms of, second through kind of eighth, a very, very closely bunched Big 12. And so I would anticipate Big 12, champion getting in on there, but it's going to be close. It is not inconceivable that Ohio State backs into the playoff for a second straight year. I just think their overall resume probably is just going to fall just a bit short when you throw in that conference championship tiebreaker that Texas is going to have over them.
The one thing I've learned about college football, as you very well know, expect the unexpected, right?
Absolutely. That is the especially in a year like this where we have not had the chaos, maybe it's just saving it all for this weekend.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I'm so excited about it. Championship weekend is always fun. And then, of course, Selection Sunday, where we get to find out who's going where, who's playing who, and it's a whole lot of fun. He's Brian Fisher, national college football writer at Fox Sports, also host of the Head Coach U podcast. Brian, thanks so much for your time, man. Enjoy championship weekend, and we'll be talking soon.
All right, I definitely will.
There he goes. That's my guy, Brian Fisher, again from Fox Sports, talking all things college football. And again, the Pac-12 championship game, talking about number 3 versus number 5, Washington versus Oregon, is actually going to be kicking off at Allegiant Stadium in less than an hour. And if you're not going to be able to make your way to Allegiant, you can also listen to it on our sister station, ESPN Las Vegas. It'll join In Progress following Cofield and Company. So that you have multiple options to check out a hell of a game, number 3 versus number 5. Also, how about this? Since I'm in this kind of mood today, it's this kind of Friday. Feel good Friday, baby. We feel good. Ari back in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. He's acting like he's feeling good, but we're going to hook you up. How about Boyd Gaming? They are the local casino of the Las Vegas Raiders. They hook it up all the time, trying to get you in to win tickets to go see the Raiders and the Minnesota Vikings. Coming up week 14 action right now. My man Ari's got surprises for you back in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. More importantly, though, we're going to get you in to win right now. Tickets to go see that game. Caller number 9 is what we're looking for at 702-365-9200. That's caller number 9 at 702-365-9200. Getting you registered, a.k.a. getting you in to win these tickets to go see the Raiders and the Minnesota Vikings week 14 action with Raider Nation Radio 920.
Back to throw Miami. Good protection. Pass down the middle. If he got White at the 40, at the 30. He's down. No, he's still on his feet at the 20. He's at the 15. Spins away. He's at the 10. Ricky White's down to the 6-yard line. Oh, baby. Ricky White nearly took it to the house. Better than 60 yards.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
My man Ari is in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. I'm in the home studio. We call it Studio Q. The show each and every day is brought to you by the Jewelers of Las Vegas. If you look at the calendar, it's December 1st. You're looking for some holiday hookup. You're looking for some holiday cheer. You want to get your loved ones some nice jewelry, the finest jewelry that you can find here in Las Vegas. The Jewelers of Las Vegas is the place to go. Make sure you let them know that Q sent you, and they'll take care of you in a major, major way. Speaking of taking care of, how about Robert? Robert is our winner. He got in to win the Raiders and Vikings tickets for the Week 14 game going on at Allegiant Stadium. We actually got more winning on the way. Before we get to Lee Sterling for ParamountSports.com, and sorry that we got to squeeze all this in quick, fast, in a hurry, but with the way that we had some kind of issues going on around the radio station, the whole block, not just the station, but the whole block. We have to kind of, well, like I said, squeeze everything in. So we're going to do that before today's show gets wrapped up. So what we're going to do is before we get to Lee Sterling, we're going to look for caller number 9 and 10, get two more people registered for these Raiders and Vikings tickets because of Boyd Gaming. We want to make sure that we maximize all the efforts and all the, you know, everything that Boyd Gaming gives us. We definitely appreciate that. So we want to make sure that we get as many folks in to win these tickets and give them an opportunity to be inside Allegiant Stadium come Sunday for Week 14. Raiders and Vikings. So we'll do that in about, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes here on Raider Nation Radio 920. But Robert was the latest guy to get in to win. And like I said, we got winning on the way. Got a bunch of texts, 702-365-9200. Again, 702-365-9200. It's the only number you need. No more number with a keyword and all that other stuff. All that's done. So you can go ahead and delete like a breakup, right? You broke up with that number and your new boo. Your new boo is 702-365-9200. You can call or text. Derek hit us up and said, hey, Q, tell Ari to stop messing up the broadcast. And, of course, it's got to be Ari's fault. There's no doubt about that. Bill said, new text line, easy peasy. Then Vegas Pete said, did someone plug in a Kirby and blow out all the circuits at the radio station knocking you off the air? And the Raiders should draft a center. So there you go. A lot of feedback headed towards Ari and knocking us off the air. No, Ari didn't do it. It was I want to say he did. I want to blame it on Ari because it's so convenient. But no, he was not the reason at all. So we definitely appreciate the feedback there. Let's see. What else did we get? This one came from Steve. He said, apologies if this is a double. Just making sure I got it right this time. No roster is not ready. The center and right guard combo has to be the worst in the league. They get thrown like ragdolls more than any offensive line I've seen in my entire life. If these positions were just average, there'd be so many more positive runs and far less of Jacobs being tackled as soon as he touches the ball. Those two positions are solely responsible for the massive majority of this offensive struggles. That's from Steve. Really good stuff there. Really good text. And again, we talked about it at the top of the show, upgrading the offensive line. And that's something that I feel like that the Raiders really need to make sure that they do and address in the offseason, everything that they have to do to make sure that, you know, they got that offensive line where it needs to be. They've got to do it. I think, Steve, you're really on to something right there. And I know that, you know, a lot of folks like Andre James and, you know, we've questioned him before. I think he does some good things, but I don't think he's the best center in the league, so that may be an area that they start to address and start to look at. So thanks so much for those texts. Oh, here we go. Will gave you some love, Ari. You got some love for me. He said, thanks, Ari, for bringing us back with some Mac Miller, a great talent that left us way too early. Have a great stress-free Sunday, Raider Nation. Go Raiders. That's from Will. And, yeah, Mac Miller gone way too early, and unfortunately we end up saying that way too many times, don't we? So I laugh because Ari's up there going through it, man. You're frustrated. I can see that.
No, not frustrated. I just feel bad because there were 1, 2, 3, 4 people that just called thinking the giveaway was already happening when you made it clear that it would happen in a few minutes.
Yeah, it happened in a few minutes.
Be patient, hey, look, everyone.
No, it's okay. It's okay. We just gave him a little bit of a tease. That's what we do in the business.
Nah,
I like
all
that,
good.
Though. It made Ari frantically go to the phone lines.
And you love that.
He loves phones. Just to love take them. You behind the curtain a little bit, Raider Nation, you have no idea. But when Ari was on our sister station, ESPN Las Vegas, and he was the producer of Cofield & Company, he was not a huge fan of the phones at all. And so when he decided to slide into Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness, I said, now I'll tell you, every once in a while the phone will ring on this show.
Every once in a while.
Every once in a while we may get a call or two.
Every once in a while. No, I mean, it's great. I love it. It's a totally different thing, but a lot of interaction. But, yes, it was certainly a culture shock for me. As we would get one call a day, if that. I mean, we weren't, you know, interactive with the phones.
So. It just wasn't a call intensive show.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Actually, my night show, I'm not call intensive at all. Right? We'll get tweets and we'll get some texts, but we don't get a whole bunch of calls. And then again, a lot of times, you know, it's 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern time. So
let me just jump in real quick too. I just want to say, as the person that gets to talk to all of you for like, you know, 4 seconds, I appreciate all of you, because in that little, I only get a teeny bit, but you know, it's always like good quick convo and everybody's really nice and just kind of welcoming. So I do that part I do like, and that is a different situation on the phones here. ESPN, I'll just say it, because we didn't do the phone so often, we would sometimes just get random calls and they didn't know they were looking for the receptionist or something. So.
Hey, man, where's Melissa at, man?
Right,
where's Melissa?
Like, not here. I'm doing a show. So, no worries.
I'm calling, trying to reach Natalie. Is Natalie there? Is she available? That's when you're like, wait, hold on. What are you calling
for? I'm
gonna find her. Yeah, well, no. What are you calling for? Hold on. Is someone in trouble?
All right, screen that. Yep.
Yeah, you got to screen that call. You got to be very careful about that one. But, no, we're very interactive here. We definitely love all the feedback that we get, either by way of call or by way of text. That's just kind of how we get down. So you can hit us with some more feedback. Hit us up on the don'tbebroke.com text line at 702-365-9200. Again, the text line, 702-365-9200, which is now the same number as the phone line. What are you going to do during the bye week with no Raider game to actually watch? It just, you know. Oh, and before that, we got to do caller 9 and 10. Let's do it now. I almost forgot. You almost made me do that. You almost made me forget. Call 9 and number 10. Call us right now. Hit us up. You're going to get in to win those Raiders and Vikings tickets for Raider Nation Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by PortaSubs. Make sure you check out PortaSubs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area PortaSubs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
Let's take a look at the lines that can help win you some money. It's Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports, brought to you by Joe Stone Crab, located inside the Caesars Forum Shops. On Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q.
And Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com does join us now on the phone lines here on Raider Nation Radio 920 Unnecessary Roughness, as he does each and every Friday. And Lee, definitely appreciate you, my man. It's always good to catch up with you. And week 13 in the NFL, it got underway Thursday night football. The Cowboys, they squeaked out a victory over the Seattle Seahawks. It felt like a game, Lee, that the Cowboys were looking forward to the game next week against Philadelphia. What did you think about that Thursday night football game?
Their defense sure was for a little more than a half.
Yeah.
And then they were able to gather themselves. Interesting game. If Seattle had a great quarterback, and Geno Smith has his moments, if they had a top-tier, top-five, top-eight quarterback, look out. With those three receivers, I mean, they're almost all three unguardable. So Seattle's good. They just can't seem to get over the top. And We're going to see what happens. I think they might even go for a quarterback in the draft. A lot of good ones, I think, in the mid-round. So that's something to look at also. But Dallas, boy, they're going to get some tests coming up. Philadelphia, and then I get to see them when they come to Miami, December 24th, day before Christmas. So this is a team, Dallas and Miami. They are right there. I mean, they're just under the top couple teams in their conference. They just haven't been able to beat them. So it's going to be interesting to see as the last month of the season unfolds, see if Dallas and Miami can get over the hump.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt that, you know what they say, it's not about what you do in September and October. It's November, December, and the first week in January. And, well, we are here on December 1st, 2023. Again, Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, is with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary Roughness. Let's get into some action, man. Matter of fact, let's get into some action close to home. Coming up on Saturday, right here in Vegas at Allegiant Stadium, got the Mountain West Championship game, Boise State and UNLV. Boise State minus 2.5 versus the Rebels. Lee, how are you seeing this one play out?
Well, if they played a month ago, UNLV takes this game. I mean, they've been a pleasant surprise in year one. Barry Odom's doing a great job. I mean, no one thought after they lose their starting quarterback, they're going to even have a winning record, let alone playing for the conference championship. Hats off to them. But I think some chinks might be in the armor now. They gave up 233 rushing yards last week to a San Jose State team that doesn't even have a running quarterback. That could be a problem. They're going to face a Boise team that can run the football. Ashton Gentry averaging over 6.1 yards per carry. He scored 13 times on the year. Halani, the other running back, solid. I mean, those two may be one of the top 1-2 combinations as far as running backs in the country. And they have a mobile quarterback that's a dual threat in Talen Green. And since they lost to Fresno State, both teams have lost to Fresno State, which is crazy. They had come out and won all three games in blowout fashion. They dominated games, even though they turned the ball over, and they were able to overcome it against Air Force. So this is an impressive Boise State team right now, and I just don't want to buck them. They have that experience and that pedigree. I like Boise State here. 38-28.
I'll tell you what, that run, you mentioned the rush defense. UNLV needs to figure out how to shore that up, right? I mean, because, again, San Jose State ran all over the Rebels on their way to victory, and now Boise State is going to have that opportunity to have the same kind of reaction and be able to run all over UNLV. They've got to figure out how to clean that up. But should be a good one, man. I'm excited about it, the Mountain West Championship game. Hopefully UNLV finds a way to pull it off. But, again, makes a lot of sense here how you're rolling. Boise State minus 2.5. Versus the Rebels. Keeping it going with college football action, a game that's going to be played also here in Las Vegas. But tonight, how about the Pac-12 championship game? Number 5 versus number 3, Oregon versus Washington. Right now, Oregon is minus 10, Lee, versus Washington. How do you see this one playing out?
First game in Seattle, Washington with a 3.5-point favorite. The line has moved 13.5 points. And this game's not being played in Eugene. This game is being played also in Las Vegas. This is crazy. So in the first game, Oregon outgained Washington 541-415. The Ducks missed a field goal, also failed to convert on 2 fourth-down conversions, and thought, I think like most people, that they should have taken the points and just gone for the field goals in both occasions. But I think that was a coaching blunder. But what's happened since that game? The Ducks have continued to just get better and better. Bo Nix, I think he's going to win the Heisman. 37 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. And on the year, they're 10-2 against the spread. They have won by 9 points or more in all 6 games since that loss in Seattle. Now, Washington, Michael Penix, boys, he struggled. I mean, since that win where he was unbelievable. He threw some almost no-look passes that he completed, and it just kind of just finished off and told everyone what they've been seeing was the last week against Washington State. He was only 18 for 33 for 204 yards, and they have struggled. I mean, their 6 wins since that win against the Ducks by 8 points or less in every single game. In fact, even though they're 12-0 straight up, they're 2-6 against the spread in the last 8 games. 2 really good offenses, Oregon, number 2 in the country, Washington, number 12, more of a passing team. They do have a running threat also, but defensively, this Oregon defense, number 15 in the country, they held the Oregon State Beavers, who have a really good running attack, to just 53 rushing yards last week. Washington ranks 100th in defense, and rarely will you see a team advance to the Final Four with a defense ranked so low. I know Oregon lost last year. They were upset at home. They lost the first game, but revenge is going to be sweet here for the Ducks. Double revenge. I like Oregon big here. 42-24 over Washington.
Yeah, I think a lot of people like Oregon big. I mean, I really do, and they're playing such good ball. Haven't lost since they lost to Washington and really have turned it up a big-time notch. And so, yeah, they're one of the scariest teams, I think, in college football. Again, right now, currently ranked 5th, Washington ranked 3rd. We like to call it here locally, Lee. This is the Eddie Pascal versus the Lincoln Kennedy Bowl. My guy Eddie is an Oregon alum, and, of course, Lincoln Kennedy, big-time Washington alum, a Hall of Famer there at Washington. So that's that Pac-12 championship game, Oregon versus Washington. Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920 Roughness. All right, let's turn our attention, Lee, to NFL action. Week 13, it got underway Thursday Night Football. The Cowboys got the victory over the Seattle Seahawks. How about we turn our attention to the Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers? The Chiefs minus 6 versus Green Bay. How do you see this one playing out?
So we're going to find out if Green Bay is a contender or a pretender, I think, after this game. This Packers team, they were left for dead. They were sitting at 3-6, and what happens? Back-to-back wins against the Chargers, and then the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Jordan Love, best 2 outings of his career, in my opinion. And over the last 3 games, he's averaged 293 passing yards with 5 touchdowns, and most importantly, no interceptions. The Chiefs here, the receivers played a little bit better last game against the Raiders, but they still have 290 yards lost due to drop passes. So I think they're going to more resort back to what we've seen all season long. Their defense is very good. They've held opponents to 24 points or less in each of the last 10 games. But this is a lot. Laying almost a touchdown on the road here and off surface in a team that they're not used to facing here. A lot of times teams lose focus. I think they escape here 23-20, but I'm taking Green Bay plus the 6 points.
There it is right there. Kansas City gets a W. Green Bay keeps it close, right? Again, you're laying that many points.
Yep.
Why not roll with it? And Green Bay's turned things around, man. They looked like they were left for dead. They weren't going to be a very good team at all. Questioning Jordan Love, was he going to be around? Now they're looking like they're starting to turn the corner. Again, Kansas City minus 6 versus the Green Bay Packers. All right, Lee, we'll close things out with this. There's no Raider game. The Raiders are on a bye, so we don't have to worry about the Raiders till next week when they host the Minnesota Vikings Week 14 action. So we'll take a look at the Detroit Lions and the New Orleans Saints. The Lions come into this one minus 4 versus New Orleans. Break this one down for us.
All right, so New Orleans, I think they've got some big problems. Derek Carr, not the right fit there. Maybe he is with another team, just has not worked out. Dennis Allen, he loses this game. There's a chance they could cut him loose in the next game or two. Just too conservative with his decision-making. And the defense, giving up an average of over 25 points per game over the last five games, despite playing three backup quarterbacks in Desmond Ridder. So I'm not impressed at all. They're sitting at 5-6, but this is a disappointing team here. They've got to play a really easy schedule. Best two teams that they've faced were the Jags and the Vikings here. So they're going to face a Detroit team coming off a divisional loss on Thanksgiving Day to the Packers here. So you know that they're going to be ready to go. I think they're going to be angry. They were embarrassed. I believe they'll be motivated here. And Jared Goff always seems like plays his best games indoors. And as we know, the Saints play their home games indoors. And unlike Detroit, the Saints just are not healthy at receiver. They've got some real problems there. Michael Thomas on injury reserve. Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheen were injured against Atlanta. They may be able to go, but they're not 100% here. I think this is going to be a blowout. I like Detroit big here. This is a team getting ready to make a stretch run, and it all starts on Sunday. Detroit, they win big, like I said, 34-13. Over New Orleans.
Boom. That's a big-time victory right there. And, yeah, it's crazy how the Derek Carr thing changed so fast. And, you know, I rarely talk about D.C. here because it sounds like I'm hating on him. But, man, Lee, doesn't it seem like New Orleans has been trying to run him out of there since they got him there? It just –
Yeah.
He has
– I don't know what the contract states. I forget. Did he get – how many years did he get there?
I want to just say he got a couple.
Three?
I'm not – yeah, I mean, it might have been
three. Yeah, at least two, maybe three.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But it just seems like that has not been a fit at all for D.C. there in New Orleans. And,
nope.
You know, it kind of seems like a lot of the same thing we talked about here with Carr and the offense they're talking about there, but they are fed up already. So there's that. Detroit Lions versus New Orleans closing us out right there. Detroit minus 4 versus New Orleans. Looks like a big-time blowout. Really good stuff, Lee. Multiple plays in college football with championship weekend here, then multiple plays in the NFL. Anyone wants to reach out to you, get some more information from you, what do they need to do?
Just go to the website, ParamountSports.com. Big weekend. We've got the UFC returning. 5 to 7 selections there, just $47. We've dominated this year in the UFC. Going to try to finish strong. Got a couple strong events coming up, including this weekend there in the Apex, and then also the big pay-per-view coming up in 2 weeks. So you want to get involved with that. And it's all about football. Let's be honest. Championship weekend. We call it Double Down December. You get all my selections this week in college football, where we've won 10 of 14 weeks, and all the bowl games through the end of December, like 35, 36 bowl games. And in the NFL, we've only had 2 losing Sundays all year long, 5 entire weeks of football total through December 31st. Normally it's $497. Last year, we put it out for $397. I'm in such a good mood. I'm going to make sure everyone has no excuse to come on board. $297. That's right. The cheapest price ever we've offered for a month. Double Down December, just $297 on our executive phone service through December 31st. Just one place. ParamountSports.com.
There it is right there. ParamountSports.com. Definitely check them out. Lee Sterling joins us each and every Friday here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Fantastic stuff as always, my man. We definitely appreciate you. Really good action coming up this weekend, including starting today with the championship game, the Pac-12 championship game, Oregon and Washington. Thank you so much for your time as always, my man. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
You too. Take care, Q.
There he goes, my guy, Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. Really good stuff right there, man. College football action, Mountain West Championship game, Pac-12 Championship game. Both of them going on right here in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium with the Pac-12 Championship game going on this evening. Excited about that. Of course, the NFL action as well. So ParamountSports.com is where you can check out Lee Sterling. He joins us each and every Friday here on Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920. That's going to do it for us. It's going to do it for the week, my guy. Ari, great job all week long in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio, making everything go on the wheels of steel. No one does it better, my man. I definitely appreciate you, and thank you so much, Raider Nation, for all the feedback, all the support, everything that we've been doing all week long throughout the bye week. Been having a lot of fun, and now we get to go into a weekend and just enjoy football, just watch football, and not worry about the outcome of the football game. So we'll be back at it on Monday, start talking about and looking forward to the Minnesota Vikings Week 14 action, but get a little R&R, little rest and relaxation the rest of this weekend, and chill out. And then, like I said, we'll be back on Monday. So until then, Raider Nation, thanks so much. We'll be back on Monday, 2 to 5 p.m. You know how we do. Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio, 920. Have a great weekend. And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.